Okay, we left off yesterday trying to discuss a basic question concerning the difference between Kavu and Piresh. We know that on the level of Deraisa, there's a very real difference between the two. That when the person goes into the store, that's Kavu, and that's the problem in the Torah. When the meat exits the store, that's Piresh, and that's permissible in the Torah. Nevertheless, we saw almost in between the lines a Sugya Maseches Vachim that introduces to us the possibility of an Issa Derabanan. But even in a situation that meets the Torah criteria of Piresh, may still be prohibited in the Rabbanan. But the Gemara coins the phrase, Gezeira Shemikach Mena Kavua. But if we let you go ahead and you take the piece of meat on the ground, even though it's separated and it met the criteria of the Raisa of Piresh, but next thing you know is you're going to rely on the rov in situations of Kavua. Again, especially the fact that the difference, the nuance between Kavu and Pirish is very difficult for us to really, really comprehend totally. So it's a very, very real concern of a mix-up. And therefore, Chazal introduced the Gezeira Shemikach Mina Kavu. The example of this Gezeira, the case where Chazal spelled out, this Gezeira was the case of the Kochim. When you had one animal that was possible like Karava mixed into 1,000 others, even though in theory you could have thrown something into the barn and have the animals do a dance a little bit and break up the Kavua, the Gemara says, bad idea, even though that technically Minotaur is Piresh, Gezeira Shemikach Mina Kavua. However, the Rishonim pointed out, in contrast to that, we find the Braisa multiple times in Shas about Teisha Chanuyos, and the Braisa says time and time again, Piresh v'nimtza al-chacharayv. The Braisa says explicitly, v'nimtza al-chacharayv, which is basically tantamount to saying that mutter means mutter. It means there's no Issa D'Rabbanan. So when did Chazal make this Issa D'Rabbanan, and when did they not make this Issa D'Rabbanan? So we saw the end of the Shas yesterday, that the Ri had the following theory, that the Ri says, it depends just how serious the Kavua was in the first place. If it was a Kavua D'Araisa, then guess what? Then we're not going to make a Gezeira D'Rabbanan. Why? Even though D'Araisa is usually much more concerning than D'Rabbanan. If it's a Kavua D'Araisa, what that means is, the Issa by definition is Nika B'Mkomo. Because according to Tosfos Shita, there never is Kavua D'Araisa unless it's Nika B'Mkomo. When it's Nika B'Mkomo, says the Ri, you have the built-in safeguard. What's going to go wrong? What from person is going to walk with a chila into a tray for store? So when you're dealing with kavua deraisa, which is presupposing mikra iser, there's no reason to make a gezeira derabanan. We're not stopping the business making gezeiras. We don't want to make life difficult for people. If it's mutter, minotaur is mutter. So therefore, there's nothing to worry about. So benim tzachach arayv. It's only the unique kavua derabanan because it's dafka derabanan. And what makes it Rabban is yesterday's shir, because it's not nikar, it's fraught with danger. Because you can't see it, if people are mizalzel, because you can't see it, people are going to take chances, they're going to take risks, and they're going to do things that are not correct. And they may end up going ahead and violating the din of kavua, not even realizing that there's a din of kavua, and it's not even nikar sir. And that's where Chazal was concerned. So it's a little bit of a flip, that when you have a real kavua deraisa on your hands, although the Isser is more chomer, the protection is better as well. Whereas when you're dealing with something which is not as awesome, not as blatant, not as clear, so the Isser may be a little bit less, the risk may be a drop less, but the protection is less as well. I guess you could theoretically plug this into some models in today's world. This part is not halach lemaisa. You could sometimes think. Sometimes you can have a situation where a person can find themselves in a place but there's, so to speak, a very, very high risk of getting sick, a very, very high risk of a virus. Again, it could be that those high-risk places may have the high protection as well. So you can have a doctor who's in an emergency room and say, Liu Tzu, there would be a high risk of being in a place with a lot of virus, but he may be protected so much better, so he may be in a better position than a person who may be in a less crisp place, maybe in a supermarket, maybe a less crisp place, but he's not as protected. So you have to wait. You have to gauge. You have to try to figure out that in life, it's not only about what the degree of risk is; it's the degree of protection against that risk as well. But back to our regular stuff. You're still at the sometimes give him a showing from things that are people's minds. Maybe it can help them understand the loveness of the real a little bit better. However, going back to the ninth in the Mamakomas, the Rashba quotes from Rabbi Natan, who was the uncle of the Rei, who didn't buy into his nephew's chila. Rabbi Natan thought that was not the correct chila. There is a chila. There has to be a distinction, because the Gemara in Zvachim does mention the Gezeira Shemikach Mina Kavua, and all the other Gemaras ignore it. So when do we apply it? When not do we not apply it? So the Rabbeinu Tam has to come up with some kind of a theory as well. But the distinction of the Ri is not the one the Rabbeinu Tam subscribed to. We take a look back at the night in the Rambam Kamos in the Rashi, it's the second paragraph. He just quoted the Ri and he says he doesn't think it's right. Says the Rashi, thinks that even in the case of Zavachim, if one of the animals would have walked out of the barn by themselves, that's the key. If it would happen naturally, then it would have been perfectly permissible and there wouldn't have been cause for concern, no gezeirah necessary. That was Rabbeinu Tam's view. The Hasam Ayin Taima, says the Rashi, we want to know why there's a problem for a totally different reason. The Isha is like the Vidure Lechatchila, Keichi the Lishteru, Asa the Meshka Mena Kavua. Remember, in the case of Zvachim, it was still Kavua until you interfere with the Kavua. You're going to break up the Kavua. You have to make those animals dance. So it's not happening by itself. That's not the case of Teisha Chanuyos. In the case of Teisha Chanuyos, the meat found its way to the ground by itself. A guy took it, an animal took it, and that mattered. It ended up on the floor. So in the case of Zvachim, the Shaila begins in a situation of Kavua. From my vantage point, Rabbi, what should I do? So the Rabbi says, Nikra didn't throw something into the bar, make the animals dance around a little bit, break up the kavias. And then Chazal said, wait a second, no, we don't want to do that. If we have to let you do that, we have to interfere with the Kavua, so then there's much more of a concern. The next guy who sees this is going to say, yesterday the rabbi let the person break up the kavua and take something. What do I have to break up the kavua? I'll just go in and take an animal by myself. So comes the Rashman says that there's more of a concern, there's more of a risk factor. We don't want to lechetchila let you go ahead and play a game here. About lishara's living a perish piyatzva. But if we tell the person you can eat the piece of meat that's on the floor already, so that it's already so far removed from the world of kavua, the person's going to realize. The rabbi let me eat something on the floor because there's no one near the stores. Just because the rabbi let me eat something on the floor doesn't mean I'm going to go into the store tomorrow. So again, this is a psychological assessment. Chazal do this all the time. Whenever they make gezeiros, they have to always figure out how the oilam is thinking. Chazal has to be one step ahead. It's like when you're fighting a war, you have to be one step ahead of the enemy. So over here, Chazal have to be thinking what's going through the mind of people, not the enemy. What's going through the mind of the people? What will your average person know? What's his potential error of the average person? So if we're going to go ahead and let you actively go into those quote-unquote stores, actively go into that barn and turn on the music high and make those animals dance around and break up the kavias, so that's letting us do something in a makom kavua. So your average person may not chop, and that's okay. But to go in and take it before the music is on, before the animals are dancing, that's awesome. It's a very, very subtle, very, very fine difference. Again, because we have Baruch Hashem, we've been learning Kavua for 2 weeks, so we already understand the intricacies of Kavua. We already know one is Kavua, one is Piresh, but the average person may not have that distinction. And therefore, Mali to walk into the barn and play the music, Mali to take without having the animals dance to the music. Whereas in the case of the stores, the meat is already separated, it's already out of the Mokum Kavius. So there's a much less reason of concern. Therefore, comes the Rashba, and therefore, says the Rashba, according to the second Malach of Rabbeinu Tam, in the case of Zvachim, would that be mutter? If I didn't have to go in there and turn on the music, but the animal actually left by itself, so then that would be the exact halacha equivalent of the stores, the meat on the floor outside, as long as I did not initiate the breaking up of the kviyas, there's nothing to worry about. That was Rabbeinu Tam's view. So if you're wondering about, wow, what a great kula of Rabbeinu Tam, next time I have one shor hanisko mixed in my 10,000 animals, so I'm good to go as long as the animals separate by themselves. So don't make light of this Rabbeinu Tam. Don't think Rabbeinu Tam was just giving up a shtickl Torah lamdus. It would be, even if it was just a shtickl Torah lamdus, it would also be good enough for Rabbeinu Tam. But Rabbeinu Tam's Shi'ul Torah is important for another reason. That Rabbeinu Tam actually used this lomdish, these two categories of when I go in and break up the kavias, that's a problem. When the kavias gets broken by itself, that's okay. He actually used this halacha lemaisa in a fairly common case. Actually, it was a big bikul of Rabbeinu Tam that his own nephew did not accept. And that was the following. If you take a look back at the 8th of the Mamakamos, it's two lines at the bottom. When Tosis quoted the sheet of the Re, Tosis writes the following, two lines around from the Tamayam Matir, Kishenichna Ze'ev Eder, Vidorish Naim Oshlosha Tuloyim, Kochad Vichad Vitam Kodabarish Bubakabarish. Maisa Shaka Choya happened fairly common. You know, the shepherd was out there with the sheep, and a wolf attacked the sheep. Why is that important for us? If a wolf attacks the sheep, it may potentially make one of those sheep into a trefa. Now, being attacked by another animal is a unique kind of trefas that it may not even be so easy to tell, even after I shech the animal, whether it's technically a trefa or not. It's all complicated sugya, what's called drusa. Drusa is one of the eight main categories of those trefas. And if an animal is attacked in a certain way by certain other kinds of animals, it could potentially be an issue of trefa and not even be able to discern so quickly whether it is or not. So that's a bad thing. Vichlus kashrus. Sheep attacked by wolf is a bad story for those kashrus. The problem is that this poor shepherd had 1,000 sheep. The wolf came in, didn't attack 1,000 of them. He attacked one or two. What's the problem? The problem is all sheep look the same to human beings. But now even the poor shepherd can't tell. He saw for sure one of the sheep getting attacked by a wolf, but he has no idea which one it is. And now the wolf got chased away, and now he's counting. He's trying to count the way the animals, trying to figure out what's going on here. And he realizes, oh yeah, I got 1,000 animals. Wait till I go tell the Balabayas, the Bala sheep, there are 1,000 animals. One or two of them is treif, and we have no idea which one is which. Gavalt, what do you do? So my initial reaction would be, what do you mean, what do you do? Batl barov. Wrong. Balachayim labatle. It's alive. Balachayim not batel. So believe it or not, that sugim zvachim that was said originally in the Beis HaMikdash now became real in 12th century France. Now we have a real problem for the shepherds out there. What are we going to do? So Bittul Barov is not going to help us. But wait, remember the Gemara asked in Zvachim, forget about Bittul Barov. What do you say? Called the Parish Ruba Parish. So the Gemara says, wait a second, can you say that or not? The Gemara said, you can't do that. Because to go to the sheep and take one when they're standing stationary, that's classic Kavua. So the Gemara says, what's the big deal? Turn on the music and have them dance. What did the Gemara say? No, nothing doing. So, but the Rabbanim are not allowed to do that. So, that should be the end of the sheep shad also. The same way that in the Zvachim animals, I'm not only am I not allowed to go to the tarovas and take, because that's kavua. I'm not even allowed to turn on the music and have them dance, because that's gezeirah shemigah for the kavua. So, Rabbi Tam said, no, it's okay. Rabbi Tam says it's fine. You can eat all the sheep. Why? Says Rabbi Tam, as long as they're a pirish be'atzman. Rabbi Tam was mati v'dorish la'vav zeh, called the Rashba a parish. As long as it's pirish be'atzman, it's okay. So that's what the Rashba said in the name of Rabbi Tam. The gezeirah of the Rabban was only said if you're initiating the breaking up of the kavua. Chazal did not want you to go in there and turn on the music and get the animals to dance. But if they dance on their own, if one sheep runs away by itself, hold the parish, move the parish. There's nothing to worry about. So Rabbi Tam took his answer that was used to explain how come in Zvachim we have this gezeira, and in Chul and other mesechtas by Nimtza, by the Teish Chanuas Nimtza Halacha Charev, we don't have the gezeira. Rabbi Tam said the difference is very simple: one you're initiating, one you're not. Therefore, the case when you are not initiating the breaking up of the kavias, it's tachamut lechetchila v'ibed rabbanon. And Rabbi Tam was mat halach lemaisa. So his own nephew said, at the end of the 8th of Ramakar, ain't near him. His own nephew, the Re, lived in his house. It was his sister's son. It was a Talmud Muvuk of Rabbi Tam, and he disagreed with the Hilge Rebbe in this one. Ain't near el adakash yasi adukit barash. He says, the Re, no. The criteria that I'm using to make the Yisad Rabbanan, my answer to the stira between Zvachim and Chulin, is that if the Tarovas is a Kavua deraisadik problem, then there's no Gezerah Rabbanan. But if it's a kavua derabbanan thing of problem, then there is a gezeira. Guess what? The sheep and the shepherds and the wolves is a kavua derabbanan because it's not nikar, and that's the biggest problem. Because it's not nikar, that's the biggest problem. That's the biggest concern. And mechiyah gavna yesh ligzor. So the bottom line is that the answer that Rabbi Tam and the Re, that the uncle and nephew were fighting about, what is the engine driving that gezeira derabbanan? When do we make that gezeira derabbanan? Is it made because of Kavod de Rabbana? Is it made because we're initiating the break of the Kavios? The Nafkamin Ladina will be the case that was real in France in the 11th, 1200s. The real Nafkamin is the wolf attacking one or two sheep. We don't know how many, we don't know which ones were attacked. And now we're not going to turn the music on. That's how Slichot is. We're going to sit back and we're just going to watch and see what happens. If Pirish Beata, one of the sheep gets loose, and then the Tav says, grab it up and bring it home for dinner. If the Reb would answer that question, he'd say, nothing doing. Is there a Shemim Kvanakim? There is another.
Rabbi, won't we know which sheep, when we checked it, we'll check the sheep and we'll see if it's.
That's exactly the problem. That Jerusa is one of those trefos that may not be discernible. That's a whole sugi of the third parak of Chulin about just the fact that it was Jerusa, that in and of itself may pose a problem and it may not even be able to be determined.
Okay.
So we have so far two different approaches. By the time of the read, there's a third approach. That's the approach that's taken by the Rush. I left it out of my Makomos, I think only because it was in the middle of a very, very long piece. I think I had Rachmanis on the Tamidim a little bit, so I'll say it about that. The Rosh
quotes. This regard to the sheep. In regard to this case of the sheep.
Yeah.
Do you need the sheep to be Polish, or even in its place, can you take one and set aside the tray bottle?
No. Well, you can't take up German because it's Dabachosh, because it's Balachayim. So it's the same way we said Bittl doesn't work. The best we can hope for is a called the Parash Bubba Parash. So the Rush quotes Rabbeinu Tam. He goes along the lines with this possibility, but he quotes different both of them. He quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, Ma'aseh Shaya was Matir. It really happened. Alach Ma'aseh Rabbeinu Tam, Haya Matir, this case. And the Rush asks the question, wait a second, what happened to Gezer Shemikach Bera Kavua? And he does not give the answer that the Rash gives B'das Rabbeinu Tam. He does not give the answer that, no, there was different because you initiated it. Apparently, Rabbeinu Tam himself may not have actually said that chiluk. It's the Rishonim kind of read into Rabbeinu Tam 100 years later. What did Rabbeinu Tam mean? So the Rash came up with that theory of that Rabbeinu Tam must have held that the chiluk is not nika versus not nika, but rather it's initiating versus not initiating. The Rash had a different twist, according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Rash is very simple. That gezeir shenikach berkavua was only said by Kochim, once said by Chulin. The standards of the Beis Hamikdash are much higher than in the rest of the world. It could be that's a quirk. We are learning Maseches Chul now. We're not learning Maseches Vachim right now. In all of Chul, we don't find that Gezeira. It must be that Chazal didn't make that Gezeira by Chulin. So, according to that answer, there is no fundamental difference. It's not that there's a higher risk, lower risk, more protection, less protection. All those factors are not correct, is the Rush. It's there are different areas of Allah. Kachim has higher standards that have to be met than Chulim, and therefore we're much more concerned with something going wrong in the basic condition we are in my own kitchen. So according to the Rush, what does that mean for us, Lamaisa? It means this Gezerah is never made. There is no Gezerah for us. According to the Rush, B'das Rabbeinu Tam, not only would it be mutter to sit around and wait for Piresh, you can actually initiate Piresh also. According to the Rush's version of Rabbeinu Tam, you can get the music going yourself. Why? There's no gezeirah this is chulin. So we have now three different approaches in the Rishonim. What our take is bisman hazeh on the case of the shepherd. According to the Re, we are stuck with the gezeirah shemikach. There's nothing we can do to rectify that problem, and therefore everything is also. According to the Rashba's version of Rabbeinu Tam, the gezeirah only applies when we initiate it. So just be patient and let that by itself. According to the Rush, you can initiate it because of day, because it's only a chulin and a chulin the gezeirah don't apply. So those are the three halachim that we have in Rishonim up until this point, as to give us the parameters of this potential gezeirah the rabbanon when we do make this or we don't make this. But there was a fourth possibility in Rishonim, and the fourth possibility is going to open up for us an entire new angle of the sugya of kavua. So kavua is a, as we said, it's a multifaceted sugya, very difficult sugya, a lot of lumpus in kavua. And now we're going to use the fourth Mahalach and Rishonim, which is the view of the Ran, as to when we do it, don't make the Gezerah, as almost a bridge to lead us into the next major part of Kavua. So let's take a look at the context where the Ran came from. The Ran actually started with the Sugi in the 10th of the Ram HaKom. What's the Gemara saying? It's Pesachim Daf Tes. Hopefully, it's Hashem, the Yeshiva is learning the first Mech of Pesachim next year. So we're going to, I can't tell you how long in the years it takes to get to Daf Tes, but it's on, theoretically, it's on the schedule to make it all the way to Naftes. So in Pesachim Naftes of the days, I remember the first time I learned Pesachim, I learned this from Mordechai Marcus Zatzal. So we learned it in 11th grade. So I remember that was the first time I heard these sugis, probably the first time I ever heard of Kavua, first time I heard of Piresh, first time I heard of Pitl Baray. All these Yisaydis, we've been talking about for the last 6 months. So I learned a lot of these things in Pesachim, because a lot of these things come up in the Sunday and the Testament Sefer Pesachim. So again, I don't know what the schedule will be for next year, but if we make it that far, we call a Boker to the test. So remember that we spoke about this a year before. That, we probably won't get to it till May time anyway next year. So it'll be a Shikha Yud Beis Chodesh a little bit. So, but Kavua, the main thing is, one of the main things of Kavua is on Pesachim and the Test again. So coming about Pesachim and the Test, why is it talking about Kavua there? Because of the Chometz angle. The Gemara begins with the following Shaila. Teisha Tziburin Shal Ma'atzav Yechad Shal Chometz. I have 9 piles in front of me. 9 of them are matzah, and 1 of them is chametz. And I can't tell which is which. Now, obviously, if I have a pile of a hand shmur matzah, and I have a chal in the other pile, it's going to be pretty easy to tell the difference. But there could be a much finer line between the two. So the other day, I was eating some cookies, and I made a mezonos of cookies. I made an alamichin of cookies. And then, you know, afterwards, you know, I asked my wife, I said, the cookies, they didn't taste 100% like the regular chocolate chip cookies that she makes. I said, what was going on? She said, the reason why is because she had a lot of extra almond flour left over from Pesach. So she wanted to get rid of some of the almond flour. So she made some Pesach cookies, basically. She made some almond flour cookies. So I said to myself, you know, I've been munching on those cookies for the entire week, making a mezonos and alamichi on them. She said, there's no flour in them. They're shahat al-burn freshes. Maybe she said, be some shot the extra calories that it need. But they were still good cookies. But they not. So in theory, you can have cookies that look the same. So you can have tastes where matzah doesn't mean literally matzah. It can be kosher based of food. And one pile is chometz sticker food. So you can have your geschmack or chometz sticker chocolate chip cookies with your geschmack almond flour, non-gebrochts, kosher based of cookies. And you can't tell which is which. But also achbar, v'shokol. And now a mouse came and took from one of the piles in front of me. So I have 9 piles of matzah, 1 pile of chametz. A mouse comes, and the layah didn't mean matzah shakli chametz shakl. And I don't know whether it took chametz or whether it took the matzah. My nafkamina, the mouse is not asking a shayla. My nafkamina, so the shem machlek is what's the nafkamina. So there are one of two possible nafkaminas. This may be a bedikis chametz shayla, because this mouse then ran into the house. And if the mouse runs into the house, after a new bedikis chametz. The Mishnah says in the first Bechav Psachim, when I do bedikas chametz, I don't have to worry about the mouse coming in. Because if I do bedikas chametz at night, I don't have to wake up the next morning and say, "Gavolt, I got to do bedikas chametz again because maybe a mouse came in." In chashin, get able to myself. But if I see the mouse spatzering into my house, carrying a piece of pizza in its mouth, and then it gets runs around somewhere, I don't know where that pizza is. It's a makom shemachmis mecham. It's got to start all over again. I have to do bedikas chametz again. So here I saw a mouse run into my house, except I'm not sure whether it ran in with the matzah or with chametz. So according to some Rishon, that's the issue in the Gemara. According to other Rishon, that's not even the case in the Gemara. The case in the Gemara is not a bedikas chametz shayla, it's an achilas chametz shayla. The mouse runs into the house and then drops off the piece of food on the table. And again, putting aside the sanitary issues involved, I want to eat that piece of food now. So somehow the fact that it was inside the mouse's mouth, that somehow was not the issue right now. But from a pure halachic point of view, can I eat that piece of food? Can I assume that that piece of food was most probably matzah, because it's teisha tziburin shel matzah? Or do I say no, that it's maybe chametz? So again, we're not 100% sure whether we're dealing with the bedikas chametz shalom or we're dealing with the achilas chametz shalom. One of the fascinating reasons why that may be important, and this is not for now, this hopefully it's for next year, is that bedikas chametz is usually assumed to be on the rabbanon, the gemara says, in the normal circumstances. And by the rabbanons, we have rule suffix to rabbanon lekula. So some of that doesn't play out in the sugya, which is a big question mark in the Rishonim, why not? Again, that's ready food for thought for next year about how Safik Rabbanon Lekula plays out in terms of the biggest comments. We'll give you just a quick coming attraction. There's a famous Magid Mishnah. There's a fascinating insight. The Mishnah says, Safik B'dikas Chometz is L'chumra. Why? I B'dikas Chometz is D'Rabbanon. Says the Magid Mishnah, Sha'ala Safik Niskina. All B'dikas Chometz is a Safik. Bidikas chametz means you don't know whether there's chametz in the house, so go and find it. So Chazal obviously trumped the rules of Safik Dabar Lekula. Bidikas chametz, by its very definition, is a violation of Safik Dabar Lekula. That's exactly what Chazal Masakin. Don't rely on Safik Dabar Lekula for bidikas chametz. So once you say that, then all the regular rules of sfeikas fall off by bidikas chametz. So not everyone agrees to that Magid Mishnah. That's a very, very controversial topic in the first Brach of Pesachim. But again, hopefully it's food for thought for next year. So back to that story. So I have 9 piles of matzah, 1 pile of chametz. I have a mouse running around. I don't know where he took from. What do you do? So the Gemara says, "Hanateish chanuyos." The Gemara says that is Teisha Chanuyos. That is the nine stores. Why? Because I'm standing there and watching the mouse. The mouse walked over to the piles and ran into the house. The mouse walking into the piles is the halachic equivalent of me walking into the store. And since I walked, quote unquote, into the store when my mouse walked over to the piles, that is kavua. That's nolad asafik b'macham akvias, and that's kavua. And by kavua, all bets are off. Forget rov. Kavua, rov is not going to help you. Says the Gemara, this is the halachic equivalent to teishet tziburin shomatz v'efshel chometz v'yos ach v'shachah, when the mouse runs and collects the food in front of me, that is teishet. However, pirech, what if one of those pieces separated by itself? Somehow something happened, I wasn't watching, all of a sudden the piece, one of those cookies ends up on the floor somewhere. V'osach v'shachah, and now a mouse comes and takes it and runs into the house. That's good. Hanu seifa, that's pirech. It's not as we learned. Teisha chaminos kulo mochem b'sashchut v'achkos talvela. Locha bechad v'nedem is when locha speak was that's kavua. V'nimtzar chacharav. If you find it on the floor, then you follow up. So the bottom line is the Gemara just takes the principles that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks of kavua that's going into the stores versus piresh when it's found outside the store. The same story is true when it comes to the mouse. Mouse walking to the piles. Problem. Thing falling it's onto the floor by itself. Okay. So comes Tosas and the 11th Imam comes and says, they don't understand this Kavua. Why is that Kavua? Says Tosas, where did I find this piece of this cookie? I found it in the mouth of the mouse. The mouse didn't ask a Shiloh. Now it's not my task. Now it's not Jewish. But my vantage point, the Shiloh starts in the mouth of the mouse. So why isn't that Piresh? So comes Tosfos and says, we'll skip down a little bit, I'm read to the third line. Says Tosfos, you're right. If the mouse ran in and I was looking the other way, I was sitting and learning and the mouse ran in, I didn't chop when the mouse ran to the piles, and now I catch the mouse when it's already 10 feet away from the piles, that's Piresh. But the reason why the first case is Kavua, I'm watching the mouse walk over to the piles, stick its mouth into the piles, and walk out. That's what Tosfos coins a phrase. Four words, Neilad HaSafik B'mokom Kvius. Well, that's what the later poskim coined the phrase, Piresh Lefaneinu. Piresh Lefaneinu is not Piresh. Piresh Lefaneinu is Kavua. Piresh means it was Piresh Be'atmo Shalei Befaneinu. That's Piresh. So now, based on this sugya of Psach, Baruch Hashem, enough of this mouse, we wouldn't have known this din. Now we have a new twist, a new wrinkle in how to define properly Kavua versus Pirish. I thought that Kavua meant, I, a Bendas, a Jew, a Shemitah, a Mitzvah, walks into a store, and now I can't remember which store I walked into. That was the original case. But now the Gemara extended that case to a mouse walking over the piles, provided that I saw it happening. Then it's chalon at the status of neilad asafik b'makom akvias, which is called pirish lefaneinu, and that's a problem. So what does that mean? What kind of problem is that? Just what is the degree of that problem of pirish lefaneinu? So comes the Ran with the startling insight. The 12th of the Ram goes, Li Nira says the Ran said, Eschulin. Shakol shlo bo liyado b'makom kviyuso, says the Ran. If it didn't come from the stores, from the makom kviyus, from the piles, directly to your hand, i.e. you didn't walk in and take it out of the stores, af al pi shiroso perish b'nei kavua, even though you saw it. The Ran has his eyes on the sugim psachim. The Ran knows about the sugim psachim. He says, even though you saw it, midina shari, the ikra din, that is not kavua. Tibidaraisa lo mikri kavua, el b'makom kviyusai. It is only called kavua when you took it out of its makom kviyas. If it exited the makom kviyas through a mouse, through an animal, or through a goy, even though you saw it, it's not a problem in a Torah. Ela shechachamim gazru b'shira'u pire parish b'na kavua, gizeh risham yikach b'na kavua. Says that Chazal were worried, if we're going to let you eat it when it's piresh lefaneinu, the next thing you know is tomorrow you're going to go to the piles yourself. Tomorrow you're going to walk into the stores and you'll have a dear ice sticker problem in your hand. The Hayu Sugyan the Perakatarai. That is the Gemara's Machim. There's only one place in Shas where Chazal say Gezer Shemim, and that's it. What's the problem? The cave in the Kavish Lul, Kechdirad, and what happened in Zvachim? He went in and turned on the music. What's the problem of you going in and turning on the music? The problem is not so much that you initiated it, says the Ran. What is the problem, Rabbi Isai? That you saw it. You are witnessing it. You are witness to the leaving of the Kavua B'Makom Kfirsa. Behind the time of the Tisha Tziburim, V'Asa Acha B'Shakal, that's Pesachim also. The Alpha Gav, the Medina L'Mikra Kavua, even though Minat Torah, that's not Kavua, Kevin Shalom Nichnas V'Bayez El Acha Shepiresh, because it was Piresh first, V'Kom Mokom Donu Osoka Kavua, Kevin Shara'u Parish B'Na Kavua. So when do we not make this Gezerah? When do we say it's found in the street and everything is good, even with the Rabbanim for a Gazrul of Klum? He has the punchlines of the Ran. Lafish la Ra'ul Parish Bina Kabula. The reason why we don't make the Gzeir by Nimsal Chacharoiv in the 10 stores and you found it on the street, you know why you can eat the meat found on West Englewood? Is because you didn't see it leave the Kvias. But if you were standing there watching the mouse, watching the goy, watching anybody take it out, even though it's not kavua, because it wasn't done by a Jewish hands, it wasn't done as a mitzvah mina kavua, it was done by a mouse, by an animal, it doesn't matter. Mina Torah matters, mina Rabbanan doesn't matter. That's the gezeirah derabbanan. So this is the fourth answer in Rishonim as to when we make the gezeirah mina kavua, gezeirah shel mina kavua, and when not. According to the criteria is very simple. Is it a kavua that's nikur or not nikur? If it's nikur, then there's reason to be making. If it's not nikur, then there's cause for concern. Which basically breaks down to mean the Raisa Kavua versus the Rabbanan Kavua. According to the Rashba's version of Rabbeinu Tam, the Gezerah of Zvachim was only made when you initiated the break of Kviyas. According to the Rash, the Gezerah of Shemini Kavua of Zvachim was only made by Kachim, not Bechulin. According to the Ran, the Gezerah was made all the time, by Kachim, Bechulin, and it doesn't matter whether you initiated it. What matters is that you saw it. That's the problem. That's the cause of concern. Because if we're going to let you be matir watching a kavua break apart, tomorrow you're going to go and take for a kavua mamish. That's the reason of concern. That's the Ran's pshat. So give all the kapshat the Ran. Maybe the kapshat. How come nobody else said it? The Re, the Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashba, the Rosh. Nobody else thought it's Rabbeinu Tam. Why not? What is, I don't want to say wrong literally, but what is controversial about the Ran's pshat? It sounds like such a gewaltig pshat, such a beautiful pshat. It explains the words of Pesachim, the words of Zvachim, the words. Everything fits into place. The reason why all the other Rishonim didn't say it was, most probably, all the other Rishonim held, when it's Pirish Lefaneinu, that's not a Gezeira the Rabbanan of Kavua. You know what that is? That's the real Makoy. That's the Deraisa of Kavua also. Kavua Deraisa does not mean only when you physically took it from the Kviyas. When Tosfos coined the phrase "Noda Sachem Bakum Kviyas," when the Posim coined the phrase "Pirish Lefaneinu," Pirish Lefaneinu is not a Chumer de Rabbanan, says everybody else. Pirish Lefaneinu is a real bona fide Din Deraisa, and therefore that's not the Gemara in Zvachim. When Zvachim is not referencing a Din Deraisa, Zerish Mekachmu is not a Deraisa. According to all the other Rishonim, what the Ran called the Rabbanan is Kavod Deraisa. That's not the Gemara in Zvachim talking about even. The Gezeirah de Rabbanan is some other pieces missing, whatever that other piece is. But just to pin on the fact that I'm merely seeing it, I didn't physically take it out of the kviyos, that is not sufficient grounds for Nachadanto being the Rabban according to all the other Rishonim. So we just all of a sudden discovered from this round, and I told you this would be the bridge to the next topic, this newfangled category of kavua, which is the Gemara Pesachim. You can't argue with the Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara talks about kavua, even though no human being took it out of the kviyos, the Gemara calls it kavua. The Gemara means that is the Gezeirah Shemini Kavua, that according to the round, that's the Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara Pesachim and Tzvachim are recounting the same Gezeirah. According to all the other Rishonim, the Gemara in Pesachim talking about some Din Deraisa, a new version of Kavod Deraisa. Kavod Deraisa doesn't require Elikich Miad. Even Pierce the Fanan, and all the stuff about the Kavis is also Deraisa. So that opens up the world for a whole new angle. So hopefully that's on Friday. We're going to try to see. I can't say for certain we'll finish the Sugya on Friday, although I guess like I said, we're getting one step closer to finishing the Sugya. So on Friday, we're going to see that Machlek is around everybody else is now going to impact on a whole nother dimension, a whole nother angle. And don't do this kavua for Friday. We'll take it to the next step. If anybody is interested, tonight, Beit Hashem, we have the 9:15 shiur. If anyone's interested, I'm giving a shiur. I give periodically a shiur for the Chicago, the YU Chicago Kollel, on different sugars, different times of the year. So I happen to be giving one today at 3 o'clock on some of the longest sugars of Essay Dochalos Essay. If anyone's interested, they can join on Trenno in Chicago Minds. It's the same YU link, the same link we've been using. So if anyone wants to... Everyone has some free time at 3 o'clock gift and wants to hear about the Chalosa saying, Phil, you're in Chicago, so I'm going to join in at 3 o'clock. Okay, everyone shall be.
Rabbi, it's a shear to your shear, or it's just...
No, it's the shear to the kol. There's a kol in Chicago, a wire kol that I give shear for them during the course of the year at different times. So what happens to me, today happens to be one of those days. So whatever sugars they're learning, they ask me to give a shiur on. So it happens to me they're learning the sugars best they're close to right now. So they ask me to give just kind of like a broad overview.
Okay. That's terrific. I'll post it.
If anyone wants to join, I can't imagine it. It's nearly Echad Elamei. It doesn't attract for the Chicago Kollel, but you guys from Tinek are on. So, okay. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Rabbi. And, yeah, bye.